Audible.com is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Hey everyone, welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and I'm joined by everyone today. We all got in on this podcast, so Brittany, Karen, and Merrima are here. Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey!
Woo, some enthusiasm from Merrima, because I think she's got a lot to say about her event this weekend that she went to. Alright, but before we get to all of that, we must of course discuss the things we've been reading. And I see some of you have been reading a lot. Some of you have been very busy, Merrima. So, Brittany, why don't you go ahead and tell us about what you were reading this week?
Okay, so I've been tasked to watch all of Hannibal, so I needed something happy to read in the meantime. So I finally re-picked up the second book in Chris Colfer's Land of Stories series, The Enchantress Returns, and I finished it in like an afternoon. It's just an easy read, and I forgot what was going on in it. I had read half of it before I actually found my bookmark in it, and so I repicked it up, and I'm going to start the third one before the fourth one comes out this July, so I can be back in the game and on top of it. Plus, it was just nice to read something light and fluffy and easy and not think about serial killers for a while.
Yeah, you and poor Hannibal are not getting along well. I get it.
It's getting better. It's getting better. I only have two
but
more episodes
so
left.
Good.
And I woke up with a really bad nightmare in the middle of the night last night.
Oh, no.
Sort of like
oh,
the
no.
way Will Graham wakes up, like, in a panic. And I was like, not before bed anymore.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Brit.
Oh, no.
It was really bad. It involved a child. It was bad.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
yeah, no more animal
so
for
scary.
You late night. Only early morning or something, man. Come on.
Ugh.
All right, Merrima, go through your very lengthy list of things you've been reading this week. Busy girl.
It's not that lengthy. So I finished this, I can't remember. I was in the middle of reading it last time I was on Book Hype, which was So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. And I just wanted to like follow up that I finished it since then. And it's, I think, my favorite nonfiction book that I've read so far this year. So definitely recommend if you're into nonfiction. It's about like public shaming on Twitter and like this social media culture. It's super interesting, and he writes in a really fun style, so even if you're like, but nonfiction is so boring, I think you'll get into this because he writes it it's very engaging. And then for my conference I went to this week that we'll discuss later, I reread The First Third by Will Kostakis that I have talked about previously on the show, but it's very funny Australian sort of semi-autobiographical book. And I read Nona and Me by Claire Atkins, which is a book about Indigenous Australians, a young adult book as well. And then I read, we were given at the conference the like start of Will's next book, which is going to be called The Sidekick. So I read that, which is only like, I don't know, 5,000 words or something of that, but that was fun. And then I read Feeling Sorry for Celia by Jacqueline Moriarty because I met her at the conference. I'm sure I've talked about her in Book Hype before, but
yes.
She's like my Melina Marchetta other person. They're like the two of them go together who I just like grew up on their books. They're both Australian authors, and I had never met Jacqueline before. And I met her this week and she signed my book, which is like a big deal because, as you guys know, I'm not really into signings and I got really shy when I met her. And so, because I had to take the book for her to sign it, I read it when I was on lunch and on the train. So, yeah. So it's not actually that much, but it just looks like a lot.
Yes, yes, it does. All right, Karen, how about you? What have you been reading?
Just one book this week because BEA was crazy and didn't get a whole lot of time to do reading, but I read The Death Code by Lindsay Cummings, and this is the sequel to The Murder Complex. It was really good, not quite as good as the first book. I still liked it, but I felt like establishing the world in the first book just kind of made it way more engaging, and this one expanded the world, but it got very complicated very fast. But it was really neat to see the repercussions of what was happening in the first book, and also the stakes were way higher in this one. Like, tons of people died, tons of characters that you met in the first book, and it was pretty intense, but I liked it.
Awesome. I started listening on my drive down to New York to BEA to Undertow by Michael Buckley, which is our next book club book. I'm like probably 2/3 of the way through right now, but it's interesting. It's definitely different. So I'll be really curious to see what everyone thinks about it when
what
we
genre
when we
is
discuss.
It?
It's mermaids-ish. They're not exactly mermaids. So it's not quite dystopian, although, I mean, it's set in a modern, like, our time, and the mermaids kind of come ashore and become more human-like, but not
so it's
exactly.
Fantasy.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know how you categorize it, really.
Okay, sounds cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. And we met Michael Buckley this week at BEA, and he is hysterical. He was very excited. He wants to be on the podcast. Like, he was adorable. Karen can tell that story later. But, yeah, he was super nice. So, it'll be cool. All right. So, let's talk about, as summer is, you know, like, upon us finally, let's talk about maybe your favorite summer read. Do you guys have a book or a type of book that you love to read in the summer?
Well, I feel like I should mention that it's actually winter for me. But
okay, so for you, it'll be winter book. Marima only, winter book.
Yeah.
The rest of us, summer book. Anyone?
Okay.
Like, do you have a beach read or go ahead?
I do. I know you just interviewed Melissa De La Cruz, but her Au Pair series, I could read every summer if given the opportunity. And so I love, like, those kind of books where they're just – and Candice Bushnell's books.
Oh,
like,
yes.
The Sex and the City books and, like, One Fifth Avenue is such a great book.
Oh, my God, I love that book.
I just love all of those books. So anything like that is my type of, like, beach read. And I live, like, 2 blocks from the beach, so – reading.
So your life is so tough in the summer. I get it. Yeah.
Well, it's awful because everyone comes to my town.
I was going to say, yeah, that part would be really bad. You're like invaded because you live in New Jersey. So
yeah,
like, yeah, that's not okay.
But those type of books I just love to take because they don't, I fall asleep when I read on the beach. So I like to take books like this where I can just fall asleep while reading them.
Got it. Anyone else have any particular kind of beach read that they like?
Well, I feel like I need to do both. Because it's obviously going into winter for us, I tend to do more like, you know, you don't want to be outside because it's gross and cold.
Yeah.
So I do more like rereading of, I tend to do like a Lord of the Rings or a His Dark Materials kind of reread around this time of year. Sometimes I do Harry Potter. But yeah, I don't know. I do read like a lot of series, I guess, this time of year when you can really take the time to stay inside and like power through them, because as Britt said, like when I take things to the beach, I also tend to fall asleep. So you don't want things that are going to be a problem if there are interruptions. So lots of, yeah, series rereading. But in terms of summer reads, God, I can't even think. You know what? I'm such a magazine reader at the beach. Like, that's my thing. It's probably not really book hypey, but also I do take a lot of, I just totally contradicted myself. I take a lot of nonfiction to the beach, which is probably weird because you would think that is something that you need to pay attention to and you can't fall asleep in the middle of it. But you know what? It's good because it's something that you can read in segments, then like go off and do something and then come back. So yeah, I've covered all bases. I've answered for all seasons.
Very impressive. Very impressive. How about you, Karen? Anything in particular?
Yeah, I like the lighter reads for summer where if you do get interrupted, it's not like, oh my God, I'm at this super intense part where like, oh, my favorite characters are dying. You know, it's more like a romance or something that I like to read things that take place on like the beach or islands or something like that so I can get into the zone. But standalones are good too, because then you're not like left on a cliffhanger or something like that.
Okay. That's interesting. See, I'm going to be really weird. I really like thrillers or mysteries to read in the summer. I know that sounds strange, but like, if you think about it in the summer, like, especially up here in New England, like everything is more open. There are more like tourists around and it lends itself to that creepy vibe, I guess, to some extent. And I live, like, in the woods. So, I don't know. Your windows are open. You hear different sounds. It's creepy. I don't know. I just like it. It's weird. But that's what I like to read in the summer, like creepy thriller mysteries. So
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like having a campfire and like a ghost story. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, except on the beach.
Except on the beach or wherever. Because you can have campfires on the beach. It's pretty cool here. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can't do that in Australia.
No, you cannot. So, yeah. So, like, I don't know. It's what I like. I like it a lot. All right. So, let's see. Oh, as a reminder for you guys, we are doing our book club book. We don't have an exact date yet, so we'll get it to you. But it will be sometime this month. It'll be sometime this month. And it will be Michael Buckley's Undertow. So if you guys haven't gotten it yet or you're waiting to figure out if we like it, A, Karen's in love with it. She'll tell you her story about meeting Michael Buckley and all that good stuff. But we do suggest, if you're really busy right now, because I know it's a big time for traveling, that you pick up Undertow on Audible. We did, or I did. That's how I've been listening to it, because I haven't had time to read it. And on my drive to New York, it was super easy to just click it on my phone and call it a day and listen to someone read me the story. So I used my time wisely. So Audible.com is offering a free book for our listeners. So it's a free book of your choice, and we highly suggest choosing Undertow by Michael Buckley so you're ready for our next book club discussion. And to access that free book, you go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. All right, now let's get on to the things everyone really wants to talk about. So, Marima, you were at a conference called Reading Matters this past weekend with some super cool people to talk all about books and YA and all sorts of really great things. So why don't you go ahead and fill us in about all the exciting things you did this weekend?
Okay, so bit of context, Reading Matters is a conference that's kind of pitched at industry people. So there are a lot of like publishers and booksellers and librarians and all of those people versus BEA, where it's kind of like a mad dash to get your hands on as many books as possible. So they have 2 days of panels, and those are really interesting. I went to those all day on Friday and Saturday. It was really tiring by the end because, as I'm sure you guys know from cons, like you're really invested in it and you're paying attention, and that just becomes so draining because you're thinking really hard about things. Anyway, they had some really great authors. It does tend to be primarily Australian authors, but they had Laurie Hells Anderson was there, who wrote Speak and The Impossible Knife of Memory more recently. And I've read The Impossible Knife of Memory and Speak, but I read Speak a long, long time ago. But she was so, you know, when you have those authors where they just talk and you think, I want to read everything you've ever written, because like even off the cuff answers you give to things are so beautifully phrased and so insightful. So she was definitely one of those. And so was Sarah Farazan, who wrote If You Could Be Mine and Tell Me Again How a Crush Should Feel. And they were really fun. So yeah, that was all like Friday and Saturday. And then today, or as we're recording on Sunday in Australia, we had the public day. And that was a good time because I got to moderate a panel. And that's why I was reading all of these books this week, because I moderated this panel about pop culture with Will Kostakis and Claire Atkins, and an Australian actor as well. So we like talked about how pop culture had influenced their writing, and they both do writing for like TV shows and things. So kind of how they intersected, and it was just a really fun time. So yeah, I had a lot of fun just like hanging out with a lot of authors. As I said before, I met Jacqueline Moriarty, and I got really, this was a funny story. So Jacqueline Moriarty was there, and as you guys I'm sure know, when you're at cons, it's kind of a fine line between like you're fans of people obviously, but you're also trying to be like vaguely professional at times. And so you're like, okay, I need to just be cool in this situation, just be a normal person. And I'm not a person who like gets super fan-y around, I guess, celebrities anyway, but Jacqueline Moriarty is, I didn't realize how excited I was until I was like in the room and she was on a panel, and I tweeted something like, oh, I'm trying to be professional, but Jacqueline Moriarty's here, so like I'm super starstruck. And then a little later in the day, I was like sitting there and I turned around and Amy Kaufman was sitting behind me, who wrote the Starbound, These Broken Stars. We did the book on it, the book hype.
Yes. She also wrote that new book that we were talking about, Illuminae.
Yes. She's a co-writer on that.
Oh, yep. Karen got a copy too, so now we all copy.
Yeah. Anyway, so she was sitting right behind me, and she was like, oh, Marma, I was just talking about you. Meet Jacqueline. And Jacqueline Moriarty was sitting next to her, and Amy had been telling her, like, oh, yeah, and, like, there's this writer, Marma, and she always seems really cool around people, but I saw her tweet earlier that she was, like, freaking out because you were here, and I just thought that was really funny. And, so she kind of sprung it on me like that, and I was like, oh, like, hi, nice to meet you. and Amy was like, I think it's good to, you know, like, I wanted to make sure that you guys met, because, you know, she said to me after, I didn't think you'd introduce yourself. And I was like, yeah, I definitely would not have. And so as I was talking to her, I was like, yeah, it's funny how when you meet people who you really admire their work, you can't think of anything to say except like, oh, I really admire your work. And then I paused and was like, so I really admire your work. And she was like, oh, thank you. And she signed my book, and it was very cute. And I was like, yeah, very starstruck. So she was there, and Amy was there. And I mentioned to Amy, like, oh, I want to read Illuminae. Like, that book was really good. And then the next day she was like, I brought a present for you. And, so I got an ARC of that, which was a good time. And, yeah, it was just a lot of fun, just hanging out with people and talking to YA people and moderating. That was the first time I'd moderated something, so that was fun too. And at least I got one or two free books. Unlike you guys getting one or two suitcases full.
No, we did not get that many.
I really feel like we did.
Oh, I mean, see? I don't know. Yeah. I felt like it's been toned down since the last couple of years. Definitely not nearly as many as normal, which is good, because, like, I don't need any more books in my house, quite frankly.
Yeah, I feel that. But I was like, when Amy gave me the Illuminae arc, then suddenly I felt like everyone in the room was staring at me, and there was like a Twitter war started over it, and people wanted to like fight me for it. And I was like, nope,
you would have won, by the way. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Amy was like, putting odds out, Marma would take you down in a fight in 15 seconds. And if you go on my Twitter, there is a photo of me fighting Will, like him trying to fight me for the book, and me being triumphant, obviously.
So
I'm very excited to read that. That's, hotly anticipated. And the cover is so beautiful.
Isn't it?
I mean, the book looks beautiful, the way that it's set out, and I love books that are written in that kind of style. But, man, the cover. Oh, so good. Anyway.
All right.
Yeah, that was my weekend. Someone tell me about something that they did.
Okay, well, Karen's going to tell you about meeting Jesse Eisenberg, if that helps.
Oh, yay.
I mean, I already left Marima, like, a stream of consciousness paragraph about what happened.
But it was pretty So here's the thing. Marima had mentioned a couple of things that she really would like us to get for her. So we're like, all right, first of all, half of this stuff is really ticketed, or it's like the actors, and it's super hard to get in lines because they're like five miles long.
Guys, here's my list of the five most hotly anticipated books at BEA.
Retrieve them for me. Okay.
But I didn't ask for signatures. I need to be clear. I wasn't like, get me these books and go and get them signed.
But that's the way it happens there. Like the only way we could have gotten Jesse Eisenberg's book was if we got it signed.
I know. I'm just saying.
You're like, I just want the book.
I just demanded the book. Yeah.
So we got there super early one day because we had a breakfast for with Harlequin Teen. So we are like, all right, let's just get a ticket to this event, because you have to get a ticket, and tickets are free. And then even if you get a ticket, it doesn't mean you're guaranteed a book. So Karen went over and got tickets for that one, and we're like, all right, we're gonna give this a shot and see how it goes. And so we're like looking around, we're like, all right, if we get in line early enough, we could make this happen. So Karen's like, can I go? Can I go get Jesse? I was like, clearly this is not just for Marima. So yes, you can. You can be the one that goes and does that, because I would just be awkward and not know what to say to him. So go have at it. So Karen goes and gets in line, and the next thing you know, she's like a giddy little schoolgirl after she's met him. It was adorable. But go ahead, Karen. Go ahead.
It's Columbus from Zombieland. Like, I love him. It was so cool. But I got up there, and I put the sticky note down, because they ask you to write down the names so that they know how to spell it if you want it personalized. And so I put down this name, and he's like, how do you pronounce that? And I was like, it's Marima. It's for my friend in Australia. She couldn't be here, obviously. And he's like, oh, cool. Is that an Australian name? And I'm like, I don't really know. She just tells us that her parents are hippies and that's the extent of it. And he goes, what part of Australia is she from? And I said Melbourne, and I was proud that I pronounced it right because Merrima's yelled at me about that before. And he was like, oh, my girlfriend's from Australia. And that was literally like the extent of the conversation, but I felt like we had this like moment bonding over Australians, and it was just really cool.
I feel like I need to make clear that Karen literally sent me like what she just said word for word, just in a stream of messages. Like, and so I just met Jesse Eisenberg and he said like, oh, what's this name mean? And I said, oh, I don't know. And then his girlfriend's from Australia, and I just messaged her back like, yeah, I'm his girlfriend. It could be true. It's Jesse Eisenberg.
That's like, so funny. Accurate. Yeah, that was about
getting in line for me.
You're welcome. It actually wasn't that bad. And he had like a security guard, like this big, tall, tattooed woman with like nose piercings and stuff. And she was like kind of fun to watch, you know, turn people away and be the security guard. So I was entertained.
Oh, Karen. I'm trying to think. What else? Karen, who else did you meet?
Oh my God, I met Emeril Lagasse. And I got really shy and, like, didn't know what to say. But I grew up watching his show with my dad, and so it was, like, a big deal. But I was sort of like you, Merrima. I was like, I don't know what to say. I'm going to be really awkward. So I was like, my dad and I just watched your show as I was growing up, and this is for him. Thank you so much. And I walked away, and I was like, oh, that did not go well.
See, so my conversation, I was like, I think that went pretty well. Like, I think that was okay. And oh, I walked away being like, yeah, I did well. And then I tweeted like, oh, I just met Jacqueline Moriarty. And like, I think, and Amy Kaufman said I was totally cool. And then I was like, wait, have I made it uncool by tweeting about it? Oh my God, I've ruined the whole thing. But that's because I said like two sentences. So people observing would have been like, why is she acting so weird? She's not talking. So you probably did better than you thought.
Okay, good.
At least you spoke, Karen. That's, you know.
Yeah, definitely a plus.
When you just stand there gawking, it's a little awkward. So speaking is good,
I guess.
And who
also,
else did you meet?
I also got to meet James Dashner again, which I have before, but that was cool. I got a picture with him. He was really nice. He was signing like a combined book of Maze Runner and Scorch Trials for ahead of the movie. And that was cool. That was a long line, actually. And Michael Buckley was the other big one. That was cool because I stood in line and all of a sudden, like, he starts coming down the line, shaking everybody's hands. And he was like, thanks for being here. Thanks for being here. Like, he's so enthusiastic about writing YA and about, you know, just having this book out there now. And I got to go up to him and he signed my book and introduced myself. And I was like, yeah, we're talking about your book on the podcast for June. And he just goes, can I be on the podcast? I'm like, do you want to be on the podcast? So he's going to try to come on and talk about either Undertow or maybe even Raging Sea, which is the second one, which comes out in February.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
Yeah, he's cool. Really fun.
Love the enthusiasm.
Yeah. He's got a good personality for like podcasting. I think it's going to be a riot.
Yeah, he was so funny because I had met him the day before. I had gone to get, it's like, they do these anthologies called Guys Read, and it's, I would never say this poor man's last name right. It's John Syska, I think it is. He is like the editor on all of them, and he gets all of these people to write really cool books, or really cool like short stories to put into this anthology. So I was like, oh, I'll get one of those signed. You know, I have nephews who like to read and stuff. So I was going down like to get it signed, and I'm looking, and it's not just him signing the book, which is what it was billed as. It's like seven people signing the book, including R.L. Stine. So I'm like, that's really cool because R.L. Stine's just like hanging out right there. So I go down and get it signed, and I'm looking, and one of the other authors is Michael Buckley. So I stopped and said to him, I was like, oh, hey, I'm like, we're doing, you know, we just talked about your book on Hyperbolic. I'm like, Karen reviewed it. I'm like, and we're going to do it for our book club. He's like, oh my God, I just thanked you on Twitter. And he's like talking like crazy in the lines. You're like, I'm like, okay, I gotta go, but we'll talk again. And then Karen talked to him again later. So it was really funny. He's just, he's really personable and, like, enthusiastic. And it's really nice to meet an author who's, like, super enthusiastic to meet people and talk about his work and just really enjoys it. So I thought that was really fun.
He even had an octopus stamp that he was stamping all of the books with. It was really cute.
Aww, that is cute. I feel like it can be topic at conventions because, you know, the authors get, they can get tired by the crowds and all the people and everything. And you can have a bad experience meeting someone who's maybe just like, they're just over it, or they don't want to be there, or they're tired, or like they didn't have their coffee, or like whatever it is. I mean, it can happen with everyone, but I feel it, I guess, more with authors. And it really can change the way you feel about their work, unfortunately. So it's really nice when you get an author who's like so genuinely excited. And sometimes you get one who, like, maybe you don't really know their work, but they're so nice and so excited that you're like, I'm going to read your book. I'm going to find out more about you.
That's definitely happened. That is true fact right there. Absolutely. Yeah. And at these events, it's super hard because, like, at BEA, like, some of the books, like, people are, like, ready to kill for. Like, there were a couple instances where it was real sketchy, and the lines were so, the lines must have been at least 200 to 300 people long. And an author has to sign and meet all of those people in an hour. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's intense. Yeah, so it's like, if you're towards the end of the line, that they're not going to be so enthusiastic anymore. Totally understand that. And, like, one of the instances, there were two. One of them was they dropped the Black Widow arc, Disney did, at BEA. So Margaret Stoll was signing the Black Widow arc, and she must have signed for, I don't know, almost 2 hours.
It was over the timeline because I was like five people from the back. I was so lucky that I got one. But yeah, she definitely went over her time.
Yeah, and she signed until all the books were gone. So, I mean, that's a long time. And there were a lot of books. A lot.
Did I ask for that book?
You didn't, but we have – I have one and Karen has one, so –
Can I get that book?
When you, someone's read it? When you come in July, you can have the book in July.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I
figure in July we're just going to bring you a box to Comic-Con like we did last time.
Like we did last time. Yeah. I bought an extra suitcase to take it home.
It's fine. However, there's bartering going on this time because you're not just getting things until I get the Ellie Marnie books. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, you know what was so funny? When you messaged that to me, I was sitting next to her because she wasn't – Because, so this is a great thing about Australian cons is that, you know, I don't know about other states, but especially in Melbourne, the YA community of authors is really tight. So they all come and see each other at events. Even like Ellie wasn't presenting, she wasn't doing a panel. And there were like at least 10 other authors who were like YA authors who have written, you know, plenty of books, like very well known in Australia, who just came to listen and just came to check it out. And so she was there like checking out all of the things. And yeah, you tweeted that to me and I was like, oh, hey, to show her the thing. And she was like, oh, so nice. That's so exciting. And I was like, yeah, I talk about your books all the time. So I'm sure we can arrange something.
Okay. Cause I've been waiting. Cause out here. That's
You've
the
got
problem.
The first one, right?
Yeah, I read the first one, but the next one doesn't come out until September.
Yeah,
so I've been waiting.
I'll have to
like,
take a list
forever.
And bring some things over and do a bit of a what I call it like the transnational book hype reading system or something.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it's going to work. Right. Because we have some things. And then
Karen and Brittany, if you need anything, you just let me know. I'll get on that.
And then the other one that was like absolutely, I thought people were going to like kill over was Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo. It's her new book. And they're billing it as, interestingly, Game of Thrones and Ocean's 11 mashed into one. I'm not really sure what that's all about, but it sounds fascinating. And like legitimately when I say people, like the lines for this book were insane. It was like out of control. So she did a signing and the thing about BEA is they have this thing called the Fast Pass, and people can pay money to get a Fast Pass, and then they can use it once, and it means you get to jump a line. So, but they're $100, mind you, and you get to, like, pick tickets before anyone else. So, like, if you get this package, whatever it is, you get one fast pass to jump the line, and you get to pick 10 autographing tickets. So like Jesse Eisenberg ticket we got, they would just automatically get that if they wanted it. They wouldn't have to like try for it in the morning, and if it was out, they wouldn't get it. So what happens is people are waiting in line to get Six of Crows, and you think you're okay because, well, you're in line and you're in line in a good place and there should be plenty of books and there's plenty of time. And then all of a sudden, all of these people with fast passes go, oh, no, I'm going to jump in front of you and get the book. And so what happened was in the Six of Crows line, Laura and Michal were both in this line together waiting to get the book. And by the time it was almost their turn, like literally 30 people with fast passes jumped in front of them. And then there were no more books. So they waited in line for
over. Oh, no.
They waited in line for an hour and we couldn't get the book.
And Michal is such a big fan as well.
I know. And then they were doing a book drop. And so Laura, like, had gone and talked to them and was like, you know, when, you know, what's the plan for that? Because she knew it was going to be really crazy. So the girl told her the plan. So she went and did something and went back at 2 because they were supposed to be handing out tickets. Well, because there was already people, like, forming a group, they just handed out tickets. So there were no more. So we didn't get the book there either for the book drop because it was, like, crazy. Crazy. So Six of Crows is clearly something everyone is like going mental over. But yeah, it was the craziest thing. And then when we were in line for Soundless by Rochelle Mead, because that's her new series. It's her new book. Actually, I don't know if it's a series. It's her new book. So we were in line and I was in like the first 20 people. And what they do is, I don't know if you guys have ever seen pictures, but they line you up in like these little like chutes. And they kind of snake around, and that's how they keep the lines managed. So I was in the first shoot, like, 20 people back. All I know is that, again, these fast passes, over, like, 20 people, they filled an entire shoot of fast passes. And we had been waiting, like, I literally sat and waited for, like, an hour and a half to get that book. Like, it was crazy. So the fast passes were, like, the bane of my existence this week.
BEA is too stressful, man. I could not do that.
Yeah, like, it's like Comic-Con, but, like, almost more
dangerous. No, it's more stressful. It's
more stressful. Because people have bags of books, and you're getting whacked with them, and, like, it's crazy. You're like, okay, I need to tone that down a notch.
But it's not, it's also, like, when we go to Comic-Con, like, I don't line up for things. Like,
that's true.
At Comic-Con, I don't go and line up for things. I can't do it. And I think the thing about BEA that would be so frustrating to me is, like, I just want the book. Like, I don't really care about the signature or anything, and a lot of people are lining up. It's like a lot of people lining up to get the book, but a lot of people lining up for, like, the experience of meeting the author and getting their name signed in the book. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I just want to, like, bypass all of these people. And do you care enough to wait in a line like you guys did for an hour? Or no? I mean, I really wanted that Jesse Eisenberg book, but, like, would I have waited in that queue for an hour? Probably not. So
okay, you're welcome.
I can't do it. It's not for me.
Okay, oh, you're welcome.
I love you guys for doing it, but, like, you know how impatient I am. I mean, can you imagine me at BEA? That would be a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting because they do book drops where you can just go and grab the book, but those
It seems, like, poorly organized, though.
Violent. Like, people just go and, like, they were much better this year in how they were trying to do it, but it's still, like, this mass of people that all want the same book, and they just grab and push and shove and... So I try to steer clear of that. Like, honestly, I don't even. I'm like, nope, I'm good.
But yeah, sounds terrible.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like to be pushed or shoved. I get really cranky. But at one point, I walked through one of the booths, and I looked down. I was like, oh, hey, that's the book I really wanted. And there were a pile of them there. I'm like, are these, like, is this, like, a drop? And she's like, oh, yeah, you can take whatever you want that's down there. So I looked. It was the Scorpion Rules by Erin Bow. It looks really, really cool. So I grabbed that, and I walked to the other side of the, like, little podium that's there, and then Scott Westerfeld Zeros was sitting there. I'm like, oh, thank you. Now I don't have any line waiting to do this afternoon because I don't have to worry about those. Thanks.
Nice.
That was so exciting because I was walking right behind so Jen exciting. As that was happening. I was like, oh, that is the book we wanted. So I picked up both of them too.
It was pretty awesome. I was pretty excited about that. I mean, but overall, like, I like BA because you get to talk to a lot of people. You get to talk to, like, for us, we get to talk to a lot of people that we may just email with a lot. We get to meet authors that we've worked with and stuff, which is really cool. Like, I met Sarah Rask, who wrote Snow Like Ashes, and she's super cool, and she'd been wanting to meet up, and I just couldn't get to any of her events, so I got to meet her, and that was really sweet. She was really nice, and just stuff like that. Like, it's really nice to be able to connect with people that we work with so frequently, but never have the time to meet, so that was pretty awesome. And of course, we get to see what's coming up, that maybe books that haven't been talked about so much, but then you see them and you're like, hey, that sounds really, really cool, or this looks really interesting, and I wouldn't have necessarily picked up on it. At the Scholastic Breakfast, and Karen can tell you, we met a new debut author called Alex Gino, and he wrote a book called George. And it is, I think I'm going to really like it. It sounds really adorable. And just because I've met Alex Gino now, I want to read and help promote his book, because he was phenomenal. Like, we talked for like a half an hour. He is lovely. And the book George is about a little boy who wants to play Charlotte in the school's production of Charlotte's Web. So it's kind of like a transgender story in a way. And he is just like, the author is so excited about it. Like, and he's got long hair that's all different colors, and he's just very personable and very vibrant when he talks, and super excited about the work he's done. And I think this book is going to be a big deal. I think it has a lot to say. And if it's written any way in the way like Alex talks, it's going to be hysterical, because he was just so enjoyable to talk to. So I'm really excited to kind of get into that one and see what it's about, but I think it'll be really good. And it's diverse, obviously, which is always really nice. And then we said Soundless by Rochelle Mead. The other one that was really fun is Never Always Sometimes by Adi Al-Sayed. I always say his name wrong. But that one looked really cute, too. And he wrote a book that came out last summer, and I'm going to forget the name of it. I want to say it's I'll Take You There, but that's not what it's called, I don't think. I'll look it up and find out. But Never Always Sometimes sounded really cool, because it's about two best friends that go into high school as ninth graders. And they're like, they made a list of cliches of the things that they're never going to do while they're in high school. And then their senior year comes around, and it's like a couple months before graduation, and they're really kind of like bored. They're like, yeah, I'm done with being a senior in high school. And they decide that they're going to take their list of cliches and do everything on the list. And so it kind of becomes this big game. So I thought that sounded really fun. There's one called The Legacy of Kings by Eleanor Herman. And it is about Alexander the Great, but as like a teen and fighting in the battles and everything that happened during his time. And the person who wrote it, Eleanor Herman, is like a historian. She's been on the History Channel doing stuff and all kinds of things. And her first book was a nonfiction book. And first of all, I love this woman too. Just talking to her, I'm like, can we talk more? Because you are so entertaining. And the things she knows are like fascinating. But her first book was nonfiction, and it was basically about the mistresses of the kings of the world, set way back when. And like, how do you become a mistress? And what does being a mistress entail? And like, all of this really cool stuff. So basically, it's a book about sex in like the Middle Ages and like stuff like that, which is hysterical to me. And she's like talking about all this stuff. And then she tells us that her book was actually banned by the Queen in England in all the royal bookstores. So the bookstores can't carry it. She's like, so I guess that's pretty cool when the Queen decides your book is worthy to be banned in her bookstores.
She was like really proud of it.
Yeah, she really was. And it was hysterical.
As if you wouldn't be proud of it. I know. Like, that's amazing. That would be the first thing on my CV. That would be my Twitter bio. That would be on my business card, like everywhere.
So I was like, she's so funny. And because she's a historian, like all of the things in her book are like historically accurate. But then she infuses them with, like, a little bit of magic and stuff. But, like, as you're seeing the battles and stuff that are happening throughout the book, those are things that actually happened. So it's pretty cool. I'm kind of excited to kind of really get into that book and see what it's about. But, again, she is hysterical. And the things that she knows are so much fun. Go ahead, Karen.
I was just going to say, and so enthusiastic, because she dressed up. And yes, she had on this long flowing dress and this big gold crown and all this Egyptian jewelry. And she had a little like Sphinx goblet that she was drinking out of. And I mean, you could tell she just loves what she does, both the historical aspect of it, but also like the YA fantasy aspect of it. And she's another one, just like Alex, you know, after talking to her, that's Legacy of Kings is probably the book that I'm most looking forward to out of everything we did this weekend. And most of that is because of her. The other half is because it just sounds really good. But, you know, when an author is so enthusiastic about their work, you can't help but sort of be sucked into that. And so I'm just like, yeah, this one is going to be hopefully a big deal and a lot of people will read it.
Yes, I think it'll be super exciting for us to read and discuss. And I think it'll be something that a lot of people are interested in because it's kind of got that, I don't know, that cool vibe to it. So we'll see. And then the last one that sounds really cool is The Scorpion Rules by Erin Bow. It's about a girl who is a princess that she's a hostage. Like, I'm reading the description of it. It's like she's a hostage of peace. Her nation's on the brink of war, and if it tips, her life will be forfeit. And there's somebody called the Swan Riders, and they'll come and they will kill her. But the third thing, and she says, the third thing to know about me is that I'm not afraid. So I'm not really sure what that's about, but it sounded really cool, and the cover has this really cool, like, throne on it. So I don't know. It looks like it's covered in really cool scorpion patterns. So it'll be interesting, I think, to read that one as well. But there were so many things that... I mean, obviously, there's the new Scott Westerfeld. And, oh, and Marima, the other thing we got you that you really, really wanted was Layer of Dreams by Libba Bray.
Yes! I'm so excited.
Yes.
That I was bragging to everyone I met on the weekend, like, my friend got Layer of Dreams for me, and I'm going to read it before you are. And they were like, Libba Bray's new book. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to read it before you do. It's going to be really good. Yes. Just like random people I met, like, hi, Mama. And my friend got Layer of Dreams for me. Seriously, I was really excited. I'm still so excited.
Well, that's good. I'm so glad because that line was also, like, psychotic.
Oh, like, God, I can imagine. It was, that book has been pushed so many
times.
And
that's what I said. I'm like, that book has been pushed. Everybody wants to get their hands on it. Like, it's kind of crazy right now. So, yeah. But we did get a copy for you, so you will be all set.
Thanks, guys. And I'm sure it only weighs about 4 kilos.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not as bad as you would think.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's not as big as you would think. It's big. Oh, don't get me wrong. It's probably about 500 pages.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, it's not bad. So, Karen, is there anything else you wanted to talk about from BEA? Go ahead.
Can I talk about Magnus Chase?
I totally...
To explain that, I was like, what is this?
Oh, yes, please do, Karen. Please do.
So, Jen is a lovely friend. I'm just going to throw that out there at the beginning. She waited in line for me. Rick Riordan was not there. Magnus Chase was not there. There were these foam shields with Magnus Chase printed on the front of them. And that's what we waited in line for because I really, really needed one of them. And they also had cupcakes, and they also had the first chapter of the book, which had been previously released, but I guess if you didn't get the ebook version of Crown of Ptolemy, then you wouldn't have read it yet. So they were giving those out too, but I was so excited about the stupid foam shield, and I have it in my bedroom right now. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'm just really excited that I have it.
And if anyone wants to see, there's a Twitter picture on BookHype of Karen with her foam shield.
That is true.
We totally took a picture, and I totally tweeted about it because I had to wait in line. But so we go
looking right now.
Oh yeah, it's totally there. We can put it in the post if we want a visual. So we're waiting in line for these shields, and I'm like, all right. And then when I start getting to the end, I'm like, dude, there's cupcakes. I'm okay waiting in line for a foam shield if I get a cupcake. Well, these
cupcakes. Oh, Karen, you look so cute.
Doesn't she look cute? She was so excited. It was
horrible. Oh, you're adorable.
So we get these cupcakes, and it looks like a mountain, and it had the little Magnus Chase paper on it. So, you know, we peel the paper off, and I just was going to take a bite from the top because it was really hard to eat the way it was, like, compiled. And I assumed it was cupcake under all of that mountainy stuff. Oh, no. That entire top mountain part was frosting. So it took a bite and I got a mouthful of frosting. I like must have made a face because Karen was like laughing at me. I'm like, it's all sugar frosting. Oh my God. Like it was so sweet.
But that sounds like the perfect cupcake.
I know, but I wasn't expecting it and that's what kind of threw me off. I was like, oh my gosh. So, but yeah, they know how to do things. They give out cupcakes, man. How can you go wrong with that?
I would not have waited in line for that, but I appreciate that Karen does.
Yeah, she was excited about it. And it's literally
my nightmare.
Yeah, we were in a decent spot in line. It wasn't like we waited for hours. It was like
Like nobody was signing, which can take a little while, but it was just like, you know, boom, 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 go down the line. Here's your shield.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. And, you know, foam shields. Woohoo.
Everyone was getting them for their kids. And I was like, no, this is mine. I'm keeping this.
She definitely said that to people.
Be proud.
She was. It was awesome. All right. So does anyone else have anything for this very, very fun episode?
I feel like
Britt's still awake.
I feel like we should be like,
yeah, I'm here.
I met up with Brittany and she didn't get to go to BEA, but we had dinner in this pizza place that's an old church, and it was really good pizza. And I got to talk to her for a little while. So,
and I got her back to her hotel safely.
Yes. So. Thank you for
you
that.
Didn't take a book hype photo.
We didn't. Oh, I went to a BEA reading.
Oh,
in New York after I dropped Karen off because she had something else to do. It's fine. It's better than hanging out with me.
if I could choose, I probably still would have done my thing.
Exactly. But... I'm like, I could have sat in the room, though. Anyway, I went downtown and I went to a reading with Ashley Ford, and she writes online a lot, and she's doing a memoir, and she's writing a book with Roxane Gay, which is coming out indefinitely, that she said. Well, they don't have a date yet. And then who else was there? Well, it was supposed to be the author of Vivian Apple and the End of the World, but she had to cancel. So it was Jamie Attenberg, who's writing a book called Saint Maisie, which is about this woman who lived in like the 1915s, like in New York, and she kind of like used her good looks to seduce a bunch of men. And it's really like, she read a passage from it, and at the end of it, she was like, I've never read this out loud before, and I'm blushing a lot. And it was really, it sounds really good. I'll probably pick it up. And who else was there? She also wrote The Middlesteins, which is about like this Jewish family and the mother who's like kind of eating herself to death. I really recommend that book. It was really good. And there was someone else there. What was her name? I'll think of it and I'll send it to Karen to put in the post, because this is already kind of long episode. But yeah, that's all I did because I didn't want to go home. It was like 7 o'clock.
And see, I didn't know you were in town on Thursday, Brittany, so I missed you. I was sad.
I know. I had to change last minute. Because I was like, yeah, Friday, no problem. Let's all go out and hang out. And then my brother goes, so Friday, my show's at 9. And I'm like, oh, no. Right. I'll be there.
I was also not available on Friday.
Yeah, you're a little busy. Yeah. Considering it would have been Saturday morning. I can understand that.
Yeah, I was at the con. I can't escape it, guys. I've made a commitment.
It's okay. It happens. It happens. It happens to all of us. So, good times, good times. All right, then. So, let's wrap up this episode. And again, we will let you guys know when we are doing our book club book, which is Undertale by Michael Buckley. Our next book club book will be chosen by Miss Brittany as her very first book to be chosen for book club. Let's see how she does. Should be interesting. All right. So until next time. None at all. We do not pressure people around here, right, Marima? Ever?
Yeah, we don't have high standards.
No, not at all. Mm-mm, not us.
Hilarious.
Anyway. Easy over there. All right. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Marima.
Bye, guys.
Bye.